Joining us on POTUS this morning is Representative Scott Ridgel. He's a Republican from the 2nd Congressional District in Virginia. He tweets at Rep. Scott Ridgel. And again, I'll spell it out for you at the end. Congressman, welcome back. Sorry to say this will be the getting down to the end here because you decided not to run for re-election, but glad to have you on this morning.
Tim, thank you so much. And I mean this. This isn't me kind of sucking up to the host, but of all the shows I go on, I'd say this and Morning Journal are the ones that allow a member to have a thoughtful, fact-based, substantive discussion and sometimes debate about these issues. And I appreciate it. So it's good to get the call. Thank you.
Well, I do appreciate that. Since you have nothing at stake, I think it's interesting that what is important to you right now is an issue like combating terrorist recruitment, strengthening national security. And I want to delve into that a little bit because I know that you represent a very military district in Virginia. And just get a sense of what you think are your priorities as you get to the end of this this tenure in Congress.
Well, for context to the listeners, I have the great privilege of serving Virginia's 2nd Congressional District. It's home to the highest concentration and number of men and women in uniform, active duty and retired. I'm the son of an Iwo Jima Marine, a Marine myself, and the father of a Marine, and a couple of nephews are Marines. And so all of that just leads to this, this just intense sense that we have to stand with our men and women in uniform. And I occasionally hear this this figure that, you know, 1% of our country serves. Well, it's actually significantly less than that. It's about 0.6%. And then the percent that actually get into combat, you know, is far less than that. But those who are called to go at the front lines, and I was with some of our service members just yesterday who fall into that category, we do as a nation, all 330-plus million of us, we owe them everything that we can to ensure, to the best of our ability, the success of their mission. And in this case, one thing that we're deficient on, and the president has advanced an authorization for the use of military force, our top uniform officer, General Joe Dunford, who I have such high regard for, has made clear unequivocally that an authorization debated by the House and the Senate, passed and sent over to the president for his signature, would be a substantive, definitive, though it's an intangible step other than this piece of paper, but it expresses the will of the American people and the resolve and the resolution we have to defeat ISIS. And It troubles me greatly, Tim, and frustrates me, in all candor, that the institution that I have the privilege to serve in, the House of Representatives, has not brought this to the House floor. And we can go into why and what we're doing to work around that or go over it or through it, but that's been a great source of frustration for me. The president gave us his authorization over 450 days ago. And I disagree with the president on a lot of things, but to his credit, he has submitted an AUMF, and we haven't responded, and that falls on us.
Yeah, this started in some ways, I think, because the administration had sort of fallen back on the AUMF that was put together under George W. Bush, and they thought that that was sufficient. They still think it's sufficient, but they had not been in a rush to redo that. And then there became a time, it seemed, I guess, more politically expedient to try to get this new AUMF. But to your point, there is a sense now that there needs to be a new one. And so what is blocking it? Is it Republicans don't want to go through it, or nobody wants to take a vote right now, or what?
It's somewhat of a conundrum. I've dug into this. I've met with committee chairs on the respective committees that have jurisdiction on this. And I'm going to have to just lay this thing out here. I think that some of the resistance on the Republican side is a genuinely held belief that the authorization is sufficient. That is, the AUMF that was put into place in 91 or 92 is actually operative, that it's a legal foundation. To me, it's...
You mean 2001, 2001, 2000.
Excuse me, I'm sorry, you're correct. Is operative. It is a weak, crumbling, and wholly insufficient legal document to pivot from. I hold that view. Senator Tim Kaine, a Virginian, holds that view. Jeff Flake in the Senate. My friend Peter Welch from Vermont, we all hold that. In fact, we've authored and put forth a bipartisan, bicameral AUMF that would supersede, replace, and provide the clear legal authority for the president, this president, and any president to follow, to go out and engage ISIS and defeat ISIS and express the moral will and the support of the American people. So again, some of it I think is a legitimate belief that I don't hold that the president now has authority. Tim, I also think, based on the discussions I've had, I don't understand this, but I think that some of my Republican colleagues are holding off. I don't know if they see it as a win for the president, or they don't think that giving him, they want to wait and see if we have a Republican replacement here in this next election. I just don't understand that, and I've been very clear about that. I am seeking to advance our bipartisan, bicameral AUMF. I'm going to go before the Rules Committee. We're entering this morning our amendment to the National Defense Authorization Act, which is the it's the exact language that we have in the AUMF that we've entered. And I'll see if I can get it through Rules Committee. That's not going to be an easy fight. They may claim that it's not germane or something, but we're going to really argue that. So at least we'll have it out there in the Rules Committee. But, you know, there's a possibility that this thing could be offered as an amendment on the House floor. And if so, I think members need to take a stand, not necessarily whether they support our specific amendment, though I think it's the right one, but this debate generally should take place. And I feel very strongly about this, and other members on both sides of the aisle do, just not enough at this point.
I'd love to have you back in the studio at some point to sort of go over what you think were the highs and lows and maybe some lessons learned, I guess, as your time in Congress, when we can spend a little more time on it. I do need to ask you, because here we sit, sure, as Donald Trump is ready to visit tomorrow in the House, and one wonders, okay, where does Scott Ridgel stand on the nomination of Donald Trump to be the Republican standard bearer?
Well, I've been very clear on this. I find myself at the age of 55 for the first time in my life, and it's really surreal that this fall, should our nominee be Donald Trump and the other candidate, Hillary Clinton, I'm going to have to have a write-in candidate. And I know mathematically, look, I'm intelligent enough to know mathematically what that means and the significance of my vote. This is not a matter of preference, Tim. This is a matter of deeply held principle. And I was clear about this early on. I spoke to my district as best as I could, and an open letter to the district prior to the Virginia primary. And I could go through the deep substantive character flaws in him. He doesn't have the temperament, the judgment, and to be commander-in-chief. This is principally what I pivot off of, because I think about the recklessness of his statements, and they then become a foreign policy, or at least something that other nations have to pivot off of and respond to at times. And I cannot, in a proactive way, elevate him. And of course, you could imagine, you know, how difficult this is. I don't like the position that I'm in. I'd hoped that we would have gone a different direction with any of the other candidates. I could have supported and endorsed ultimately any of the others, I believe, especially the ones there toward the end. I was a big fan of Marco Rubio. Of course, you know where that ended up. I'm a big fan of John Kasich, but that too didn't go anywhere. But it's a tough situation. And by the way, the opportunity to come in and unpack what I've learned in, I guess, 6 years or so, I'd be delighted to do that. It's been quite the journey from businessman into seeking office and serving, and some good things and some things we need to work on, obviously, that I'd enjoy unpacking with you there.
All right. We'll do that. Congressman, as always, a pleasure. Thanks for being here this morning.
Thank you, Tim. Thanks so much.
Representative Scott Ridgel is a Republican from Virginia's 2nd District, joining us here as we discuss the issues of the day, including their efforts to fight combat terrorist recruitment and his efforts to get an authorization for the use of military force, and his thoughts on the Donald Trump candidacy. He tweets at Rep. Scott Ridgel, R-I-G-E-L-L.